I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west. And of course, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Don't forget, starting January 7th, we are involved in a coup, an overthrow, a takeover of Sirius XM Channel 204, which is becoming Sports Grid Radio Network. Now, look at this. Louisiana spikes the ball with 10 seconds left. Why is that clock still running? Honest to God, the guy spiked the ball and the guy running the clock at App State let it run for another 6 seconds. I mean, how bad are they cheating up in the press box? I mean, my God. So they're trying to score here with no time left. And they have a timeout, so it's down to 7 seconds. I don't know why they it's the strangest thing. Are you watching this game, Mafia, how they're not running the clock? Like, what is going on here? They didn't get a first down. They called a timeout there. So they had two left, one timeout left now for them to kick a field goal if they want. They could maybe have one more strike at the end zone with 7 seconds left. But they got a big pass play for like 30 yards that got them down into the red zone for a chance to score. At least, you know, with it 10-6, they could make it 10-9, or they could score a touchdown and take the lead. So when I saw this guy spike the ball, they did move the clock back to 13 seconds because the clock operator up in the press box obviously cheats. How corrupt are you? How corrupt are you? Did you see the guy let the clock run down to 5 seconds after the guy spiked it at 13? Did you see that?
Right. It wasn't like he was like, oh, you didn't see it. Like maybe he was behind the center and kind of just throws it down. Like he picks it up one-handed, like above his head and spikes it like he's a young Gronk after a touchdown, and they don't stop the clock.
The guy didn't stop the clock for like 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. I mean, this guy, what is happening here with this clock operator? I mean, is he on the take or what for App State? My God, don't let him near that thing in the fourth quarter. I mean, my God, I hope the ref has his eyes on that. So anyway, when we come back, at the very least, I want to get into some stuff like beyond these games, which is one, I want to talk about this kid that is, I don't know if they've let him out of jail yet. The high school kid in Texas that ran over the ref. He just bulldozed this ref. And then they kicked the team out of the Texas State football playoffs. We'll talk about that and Kyrie Irving coming up.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. So I don't know. Like, I'm not like that into the whole story about the kid down in Texas, so that, like, you know, I could, you know, sit here and tell you everything about him. I know that it's Edinburgh High School, and this kid, a defensive lineman, he's made national headlines today, obviously, and his name's Emmanuel Duran. And he slammed this ref, Fred Gracia, into the ground. I mean, just pile drove him, just absolutely trucked him. He literally just absolutely obliterated this ref on the field. He ran from the sideline into the field of play and just took this guy's head off. And it was because he had been ejected from the game. So He did it when, right after Gracia had announced that the kid had been ejected from the game for whatever, a cheap shot or whatever. So what happened was he was ejected after receiving back-to-back unsportsmanlike conduct penalties when he shoved an opposing offensive lineman to the ground, attempted to tackle the quarterback after the whistle, and had blown the play dead, and that he exchanged words with the 58-year-old Gracia. So he was escorted from the stadium by police officers, was charged with assault, and he got out of jail tonight. He was in jail all day, posted a bond, and was released from jail. The incident occurred in the first half of their win, their playoff win. The team's season is now over. The district decided to remove Edinburgh from the playoffs after the incident involving the kid, and it occurred during a football game like yesterday or something like that. I think it was on the third, whatever. What's today? The fourth? So it was Thursday. The Edinburgh Consolidated Independent School District announced, "We extend apologies to the ref and his family on behalf of the Board of Trustees and administration. We apologize to the athletes, staff, and the community. We're taking disciplinary action once we understand the facts and circumstances underlying the incident. They can't talk about it anymore, for the investigation is pending," right? So the University Interscholastic League condemned the kid's actions but approved their quick response of the school to pull out of the playoffs. So I'm sure that the rest of the team has to be devastated, right? Because they're in the state playoffs. And, you know, I don't know anything about, District 31-6A. He was the defensive player of the year last year, this guy. He's also a kicker, punter, and a star wrestler, according to reports. But they're done. Their season's over, and they got yanked from the playoffs. So, you know, it's really strange when you think about it. Like, I saw it. I think everybody saw it. It made national news. It was on the evening news with David Muir on ABC, right? And it was on every local television. It was everywhere. And I even saw it. Like, I was flipping channels. Inside Edition had it. Everyone's just destroying this kid, right? So the kid goes to jail for the day. And, I mean, they took him from the field and put him in jail, right? And then he got out tonight, allegedly. So can you imagine, can you even imagine what's going through this kid's head? And the after effects of this on this kid. So And believe me, I'm not apologizing for this kid or, you know, apologetic for his actions. What he did was he snapped. He clearly snapped. There's no getting around it, right? Like, I mean, the guy snapped and he went out on the field and you know, decapitated this referee in the middle of the field and nearly killed him. I mean, he destroyed this guy. Like, the guy could be dead. I mean, you can say whatever you want. The guy could be dead. He got, like, I mean, this kid's big. He's a big kid. He's a big lineman. And he destroyed this guy. I mean, he could have, you know, because the guy could have snapped his neck. He could have, you know, landed bad. You don't know what could have happened, right? Concussed. You never know. I mean, you just never know. The guy could be, he could have broke his neck. I mean, you can't even deny it, Mafia. And so anything could have happened. The guy could have ended up paralyzed. You don't know. You just don't know. I think the kid is very lucky that the guys, and we don't know. We don't even know if he's okay. I don't know anything about the guy Gracia, the ref. But let's, you know, we hope he's okay, obviously. I don't have anything bad to say about him. He didn't do anything. The kid was playing dirty. I mean, he had two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Second one, they threw him out of the game. Guys cheap-shotting players, guys arguing with refs, cussing out refs, and then he assaulted and attacked a ref. And, you know, we've seen this before with players, parents running on the field. Mafia, I know for a fact you and I have done shows before where there's been assaults on referees in basketball games, soccer games, football games, where we've talked about this before on the air, where they're, you know, wow, did you see the ref get attacked by the fan? It's a dangerous way to make a living being an official. Being a ref is scary stuff. I will tell you that. What's that?
Your sports parents are nuts. I mean, it's almost as dangerous, more dangerous probably than being on the field. Being a ref,
it is like
people after.
They're crazy. Like, so here, I'll give you a couple stories. One, I'm leaving the basketball court one day, and you know where I play. And in the back of that gym, you've been there before to watch ball, okay? You've never played there with me, but you know you've been in there to watch ball.
Yeah.
And the place is packed. And then in the back, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you've seen that that place has this giant domed sports facility. It's like it's a soccer indoor, you know, bubble, right? And then if you go in the back of the basketball facility, there's a soccer pitch. There's an outdoor soccer field. So I come out of there one day playing basketball, and these kids are playing soccer, and they're like 7, 8 years old. And I'm walking along the sidewalk, which is right next to the basketball court, and in between the soccer field, there's only one way out. There's a path going right between the field and the basketball courts. And I'm walking, and all I hear is this just massive, abusive language and threatening the refs and just screaming obscenities at this poor soccer ref. And, you know, they only have one ref in soccer. And then they got the two offsides linesmen, right? So the one and in little kids' youth soccer, they just have, I think they just have one. And he calls everything, offside, everything, right? So I'm walking out. I hear these parents just screaming at this ref and cussing and obscenities flying everywhere. And they're just threatening him, threatening the guy. And I'm like, Jesus H. Christ. I'm like, what is happening here? I go, they're 6 years old. I mean, the parents are absolutely gone, right? And I'm telling you, so when I was in college, I was an ump. I was a baseball ump. So in my spare time in the summer, I lived in Bloomington at Indiana University. So I never left. I was there for 5 years. And in the summers, I stayed in Bloomington. And Bloomington in the summer is a blast. It's just fun. Like, you take one or two classes, and then the rest of the time, you just get hammered. And that's why I would umpire Little League. I umpired you know, in Bloomington, in the Little Leagues. And I mean, they have, it's a massive town of like 300,000 people. So they have tons of little league teams, and I was an ump, and I'd go to this facility or wherever the games were. There'd be like five or six baseball fields tied together, and I would ump games. I'd do like two or three games a night. And I mean to tell you, I used to have to literally, I'm just going to sum it up. I used to have to get escorted to my car. I used to have to get escorted to my car before they would let the families and players leave. They walked the umps to their cars to get the ump a 5-minute head start. No one's allowed to drive out of the parking lot until the umps have been gone for 5 minutes so that no one kills them. I'm just like, I was getting death threats as an ump.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So I'm going to bring on JK here in a second. I just want to finish by saying, so I had death threats and I had people threaten me. I had people literally say they were going to kill me, smash my head in with a baseball bat, drag me by a truck. And this is like little league parents. And I would get escorted to my car and I would drive home and then I would get drunk with my college buddies after I like was a little league ump. So like I've seen it, and then I've ref basketball games and been threatened. So to see the kid attack the ref or a parent attack the ref doesn't surprise me at all. The aftermath of it is he's destroyed himself. He's destroyed his team. They're done. Their season's over. So every kid on the team, I don't care what you say, they're all going to blame him. They're all going to blame him. The parents are going to turn on that kid's parents. They're going to hate them forever. They're going to be the community outcasts now. I feel sorry for the kid. Like, mentally, he's going to need a shrink. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. They had him on suicide watch at that jail because of what he did. And then he's in jail. And then his team gets thrown out of the playoffs. Their season's over. And you know who they're blaming? Him for everything. Plus, he's got assault charges. So that story is just crazy. So I just want you to know, Mavi and I have seen, we've seen it before, these refs be attacked, and I've been threatened. But John Kincaid knows it's easy to threaten Pharrell. I've been, you know, I've been threatened on I've been threatened on the radio. I've had massive, multiple death threats. Mafia can document it. The New York, the NYPD cyber crimes unit, they know me by name, first name basis. They've come down to the fan like five times with people that have threatened me. Mafia knows it's true. I'm not even making this stuff up. I've had all kinds of people threaten to kill me. I've been attacked in Times Square by people that apparently didn't like my show too much. John Kincaid, have you ever had anyone, because you're like the nicest guy in the world. I'm kind of a D. Do you have anyone that's like tried to kill you or anything?
Yeah. And how about, do you remember Dave the Hammer Schultz?
Of course.
From the Flyers.
He's been on my show in the studio at Howard.
Well, he coached Malvern Prep in suburban Philadelphia.
Right.
So I'm a young coach in my 20s, right out of college. Right. I had just gotten done working for Keenan, and I am from my Keenan, and I am coaching high school and club hockey in the suburban Philadelphia area. I'm coaching Downingtown. It's Thanksgiving night. I believe it's 1990, Thanksgiving night, 1991 or 92.
Right.
And it's the Thanksgiving night game in suburban Philly. Hockey games go on at night. They have a doubleheader, and it's huge. People come out. So Dave Schultz, very first shift, the day before, we're on Angelo Cataldi's show in Philadelphia talking about the big game. And I say, I think first shift, we're just going to come out and lay somebody out. And I'm just joking. I'm just joking. And on the very first shift, one of my players, Brian Orr, laid a shoulder into one of his forwards who had his head down coming through neutral ice, knocked him out cold. Schultz jumps on the ice and literally tries to attack me and has to be restrained by the refs and then taken out of the rink by the Haverford police. The best part was he was the rink manager. It was just even that was his full time job at the time. So
you
he
remember?
Had to get escorted out of his own rink by the cops.
He was like the toughest guy ever when he played. He was
oh my gosh.
You know, I mean
Pharrell,
he
had gotten if he had gotten free of those officials, I would have needed the Penn's undergarments as I tried
that.
To flee.
So
oh,
John,
he would have taken me apart.
Right, he would have killed you. He's a dangerous.
Oh, he
was a dangerous guy,
and he was an older guy even at the time. Oh, he would have killed me. He would have killed me.
He came in my studio. Were you there, Mafia, the night that guy came and did the show, Dave Schultz? He came and did my radio show.
Yeah.
At Howard Stern. Were you there? Remember?
I was there. Oh yeah,
he
was intimidating.
He had
dude,
bear
for sure.
paws. He had
Jesus.
Bear paws. He had giant
I know.
Bear paws. Like you know who had you know the biggest hands, Pharrell. Now we get off track like we always do. Dan Reeves.
Really?
Did you ever get to shake hands with Dan Reeves from the, you know, the legendary coach? Coach Reeves has the giant, biggest bear hands you've ever seen in your life. Every time you shake hands with him, you feel like a total wuss. You feel you feel like half the man he is. Because
he
can just break your hand if he squeezed it.
He's done the show, but I don't think I remember ever shaking his hand. You know who has beat up hands? Two people that I've seen with the worst hands ever from hockey were, and I did a show with him, and Morenci and these guys, Cam Stewart, they can document this. The first guy I'll say is Knuckles Nylund. He had, I mean, he looked he stuck his hand in a wood chipper. I mean, they were just mauled, and his fingers were, like, broken, and they were all going in different directions, like, because he had punched so many people. And the other guy that had bad hands that I saw and I'm good friends with, who just absolutely destroyed his hands, beating people's faces in, was Darren McCarty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He definitely had some problems.
How about you, Brian Baldinger? Of the NFL Network. Baldwin.
I know him.
His fingers, he has fingers that go in like 15 directions. They're like, it looks almost like something you'd stick on top of the tree.
Right.
Not a hand. I mean, it's one, his pinky goes one way, his middle finger goes another way. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So my hand, my left hand, I'm showing it on the YouTube video right now. So if you're listening on the radio, you can't see it. But on the TV side right now, people can see this is I don't know if you've ever seen that terrible Progressive commercial where the guy goes, international hand model John makes an appearance.
Model.
The guy goes, your wayward pinky is grotesque. Well, I have a wayward pinky. So I broke my hand in five places playing basketball. So my pinky stick, you can see it right now on TV. It literally sticks out, and I look like Nanu Nanu. Do you remember Robin Williams?
Shazbats.
I have that hand going, or like Spock. So John Kincaid's with us, the legendary radio host. So I have to say a couple of things. Now, luckily, we're going to have you here for a little bit through this segment and then another one.
Sure.
But I want to start by saying congratulations on the gig at the Fanatic in Philly. I think it's great. I don't know.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about you. I thought that was pretty cool. You got that gig.
I did see that. That absolutely was understated, just like always. It was very understated. Well, I love that. Thank you.
Well, I think that my guess was you didn't respond because you don't want anything. You don't want to be tied to that comment at all because you're too nice of a guy to say anything bad about your former employers. So I did it for you.
I'm more interested in being very smart about my severance.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I don't have anything to do with that. So
let's
I just want to say that I thought the decision that the Dickies made, this is me saying this, not you. I thought the decision that they made to get rid of you after 20 years of excellence and domination of the Atlanta radio market, the best show in Atlanta, bar none, how in God's name? I mean, let's face it, you and Buck were like Mike and a Mad Dog. I mean, you guys owned Atlanta.
We went longer than them. We were longer than them. We had a 20-year anniversary party.
Right.
And then 8 days later, I was out on the streets.
Like, can you imagine
later, I was out on the streets.
No, listen, I have to say this. Just hear me out. Anyone that would do that, listen, and I'm friends with the Dickies. I've known them forever. I worked for them. And I worked for the father. I worked for Lou. I worked for David. I worked for John. I worked for all of them. But I have to tell you, that was really, like, I think that's one of the most lowball moves I've ever seen in my life. To let you have this huge 20-year anniversary bash where, like, you know, debutantes, political advisors, presidents, international, global leaders, athletes, Hall of Famers, legends, strippers, porn stars, they all showed up at your party. And then 8 days later, they fire you. Like, what kind of a scum move is that? That is just absolutely, you might as well have just done me the day before the party and just said, listen, we're going to fire you, but we're going to throw you a party and never forget. That would have been better than what they did to you 8 days after. Now, listen, I understand why they did it because they're broke. Okay, so I thought I summed that up pretty well too. They got rid of you because they're broke, because they want to pay everyone nothing. They want to pay people $1 a day to do their radio shows, and so they get rid of the most talented guy there. So nice move by them. That's called swing and a miss city by the Dickies. And I'm not nice, okay? So we already saw what they did in radio. I already know what the Lou bought. He bought the network for $2 billion and then went broke. Okay, so then they got the little brother over there screwing you, and I'm like, what is going on here? So I thought I'd just get all of that out first, all the nastiness, because I'm such an unpleasant person. But my thing is that I love you so much, and I like you so much as a friend and as a talent and as a colleague, and I think so much of you that I thought that you deserve way better. So when we come back, since he won't say anything to lose his severance, when we come back, we're going to talk about the future and how great a gig he's landed in Philadelphia and where he's going to live. All right, Pharrell and Abandon. So I barely remember this stuff because I got early for Alzheimer's, but Mafia was trying to refresh my memory. He often has to do that. Like, I'll just forget everything. And he'll be like, no, that's not what happened. You're going to be in jail. Shut up. Stop talking. You're going to get sued. But anyway, here's the deal. I remember that they bought like ABC, Westwood One, CBS. They got in bed with and started syndicating CBS Sports Radio. They did all the sales and syndication, right? And then like they were $3 billion in debt. And then the CEO and his brother, they threw him out. And then this woman took over as CEO, and then they tried to dig their way out of the grave and their financial problems. And to this day, they're still fighting to stay solvent and whatever and you know, stick their head above water. But all I know is that I've never seen anything like, I got to be honest with you, I've never seen anything like a guy. It's so bad for the business, in my opinion, when someone that good, like John Kincaid, that they shaft a guy like that. You know what that does? That bodes very badly for everyone else that's just starting, that's just in the business, that's young in the business, that's been in for 5 or 10 years, that's trying to make a name for themselves, and they're trying to do this for a living and do this their whole career. And then they can rest assured that they're never going to be safe ever at any job ever in radio, when you got bosses like that that are willing to fire a guy that's a living legend in a market that owns the market, the king of the market media wise, and then you've worked for the same people for 20 years and they still do you? They still do you? That's it. I'm done. Like, I'm not nice. So I used to respect them. Now I don't care if their car slides off the road at Thanksgiving or Christmas in an icy storm because of the way they treated him. And I defend my friends. I don't care what they think of me. Here's the deal. I don't want to know them, and I don't want to work for them, and I don't want anything to do with them ever again. How's that sound? So count me as an enemy because of what you did to John. Okay? So I never had a problem with you until now. Okay, so John, it took John, you know what John was? John was like Doc Rivers. It took him 3 days to get a job. He literally got a better job, 10 times better job, and now he's going to be mornings in Philly on the Fanatic, great station, and he's going to take on like one of his, I guess, childhood heroes. Cataldi was like the man, wasn't he, when you were a kid? And now he's still doing it.
I interned for Angelo.
Jesus.
And I can tell you, Pharrell, much like I feel about you, the same way I feel about Angelo Cataldi. He's family. My daughter calls him Uncle Angelo.
Jesus.
I mean, he is a living legend. I have not done a thing in Philadelphia compared to what that man has been an icon in that town.
Right.
And I was so honored. And yesterday when the news broke, my first phone call was to Angelo. That
really?
Was my very first phone call. And he expected it. He said, I expected it. He figured out as far as connecting the dots. And we had talked early in the process of me looking for a job of what possibly could happen. And he told me point blank, you have to take care of your family. It's a tough business. You got to take care of your family. You got to do
right.
the best thing for you. And when I called him, he said, that's fantastic. I'm proud of you. And I hope you do well after I decide to retire.
Listen.
I know he's gonna try to win, and I'm gonna try to win, and I don't expect anything less. But we made one agreement, Pharrell, and it was Angelo said the rules. You know, it says we've had nothing but admiration and respect for each other forever, and that's going to continue. And
fair
I'm going
to
make sure that continues. The man is worthy of my respect and admiration, and nothing will change. And
well, that's
I'm
great.
Just going to try to do a show that he could be proud of. So
that's great. And
good.
Kick his ass while you're doing it. Like, you know, sweep the leg. No mercy.
We're both going to try to win. I'll tell you that much. I know that much.
You need to have him, you know what? I beat him and then force him to buy you dinner, like, often. Like, you should
well, that would work. I mean, that would work. He's a great guy. I mean, but to go up against him is an honor. But
right.
honestly, I'm so excited to be at the Fanatic. At my new home, I can't wait to start,
right.
and I'm so excited to go home to Philly for real,
right.
and have a chance to talk about the teams that I grew up loving, and get to be, you know, where the Sixers and the Flyers flagship, and to just be back in the hometown and to talk about those teams is absolutely going to be amazing. It really is best case.
I'm sure I was on there forever on YSP, right? And I lived there.
Sure.
I used to do Eagles pregame shows in the parking lot for Tim Sabian
right.
and you name it. And it's a great town, and I live there. So what's it like for you to – first of all, and the other thing is Adam Kaplan does my show on TV every Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And Adam does it appears to me that he does the show from the Fanatic when he's on
yes,
with us.
Yes, he does. Adam does stuff with the – I'm looking forward
right.
to getting to know Adam. I just know him electronically. I'm
right.
looking forward to getting to know him because he's a good dude and he knows his stuff.
Yeah,
and,
I told him that
that's
you
gonna be fun.
Were –
I'm going to – yeah.
I'm sorry. I told him that you were going to be there, and I was like, that's really cool because I know he's always in that studio. I can see that he's in the studio. There's like a sign over his head that he's at the Fanatic. And I know it's a great
right.
station because I also knew Tony and Harry – Tony
sure.
Bruno and Harry Mays and more great guys that are just badasses. I still think Tony got shafted. I'm not a fan of that move either. I think he's an incredible talent. So it's got a long lineage and history of great talents that have come out of Philadelphia, and you're going to be a rock star there. I'm certain of it. I knew, you know,
I
when I knew,
wait.
I knew that you were getting that job. Not the Fanatic. I didn't know what you were doing, but I think I said to Mafia one day, I said, I think I saw a picture of him like in the Philadelphia airport. And like, that's when I knew. I was like, there's only one reason to be in the Philadelphia airport with the COVID is because you're going up there to interview for a job. That's what I thought.
Well, the weird thing, Pharrell, it was because, honestly, and I'm not going to make you feel bad here, it was because my mom was dying at the time.
God.
And she has since passed. But believe me, while it was going on, the same things were converging, though. The opportunity to, you know, I'm trying to find a new job, but my mom was going into hospice care. She's since passed. And I can promise you this, she's smiling down. She's smiling down and excited, but it feels surreal. I'm going home and my mom is, you know, not going to be there for it, but Doc is there. You know, he's up from Tampa, so he lives in Philly now. My brother, who used to see it Burns all the time. Doc will be there, so it's going to be a big family reunion. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, so I knew about your mom. That's right, because I think when she passed, I sent condolences like on social media or something. Because I lost my parents, both of them. My mom when I was a kid, and my dad like last year he died finally. It just sucks. But let me ask you: you get this great gig. Are you still going to do the national radio show too, or are you just going to focus on doing mornings there?
I actually, the word came out today that after 15 years, because it was 7 years on ESPN radio and then the last 8 with CBS Sports Radio, Sunday, December 13th is going to be my last network John Kincaid show. Because Pharrell, with me being in Philly and Olivia is still a junior in high school down here, my wife and daughter are going to stay here in Atlanta. So I'm going to come back here, fly back. They'll fly up and visit me until she graduates high school. I wasn't going to disrupt her life. So I need to have my weekends free and just make sure that I can be rested up and really focus on a new job. I mean, I'm taking a job that is it's a kingpin seat that requires kingpin effort. And you know what it takes. You can't do it half-assed.
Do you think your wife will like pick up a boyfriend or anything while you're gone?
She may pick up a boyfriend. She may. I mean, it very well might. I mean, she hasn't decided yet, I don't think, but Nikki Foles, the dog, is staying here in Atlanta. So she's not coming with me. Our dog, Nikki, our puppy, she's not coming. She's staying here. So I'm going to be all alone up there, but I'm going to grind. I'm going to do it what Pharrell would be proud of me for, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be humble and I'm going to earn the audience, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show
the people, and
they've known me over the years.
You're great at doing radio. You'll be number one there in no time, and it'll take you 2 books. You'll be number one. You'll be the man in Philadelphia for the next 20 years. Let me ask you. So when you're there, I think it's great that. I think it's just great that you get a cheer for all those wussy ass teams there that you grew up loving. The crappy Eagles, the crappy Sixers, and the even crappier Flyers, because I'm a Penguin fan. So they can kiss my skinny, make that fat white ass, those stupid Flyers. And you're going to be the man talking about all this. You're going to talk about Doug Peterson and Wentz's little love affair and how bad those two have gotten. Boy, what a great time to get a job in Philly while you watch the team go down the toilet.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to need Dr. Phil on speed dial. I mean, because with all the stuff that's going to be going on in that town, there's a lot of dysfunction and there's so many storylines, Pharrell. There's so many crazy storylines in that city. It's made for sports radio. It's a town that's made for sports radio.
It's great.
And it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I can't wait.
What county are you going to live in? Because I know them all. Just give me a county. Don't tell me where you're living. I don't want anyone to kill you.
Well, I'm a Delco kid.
Right.
So, but I am going to actually live in I got myself a place in Ardmore. So I'm going to live in Ardmore. They've turned Ardmore into this really she-she fun, like
Buckhead.
Restaurant bars, places you can walk to. Yeah.
Buckhead.
In Ardmore. So it's 4 miles to Bala Cynwyd where the Fanatic studios are because I wanted a real short commute, especially in the mornings. You see, you would have rolled in back in the day. You would have rolled in for a morning show. You know, you would have just had your night end at the studio.
Right.
I'm a little more of a homebody. So I needed the short commute in the morning once I got out of bed. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I think it's great that you were able to do that deal. And who owns that? Beasley owns that. I worked for them in Miami at QAM for a long time. Are they? Do they own that station?
Yes, they do. They are. Well, there you go. It is a Beasley station. So I'm glad I've gotten in with another good family in radio. So I'm looking forward to that. And hoping that it's going to be. Look, this is my last. I've done one radio show for 20 years, and my national radio show for 15. I plan on this is my last job. I'm checking in Monday, January 4th, and I plan on this being my last job. And then one day I'll be playing golf with Pharrell in retirement.
Right.
And that's what it'll be.
You'll still have to come to Vegas and do your show, and we'll have you on the Super Bowl shows from Vegas, and we'll talk about soap operas, and we'll talk about bad about people we don't like. It'll be just like old times.
Yes.
You know, I'm rooting for you, John. I think the world of you. It couldn't have happened to a better guy. I told Monty, I said, get a hold of my guy, John, and get him on the show. I just wanted to congratulate you. I think you're the best person, one of the greatest I've ever met in radio.
And you're
going
to make a visit. We'll have you on. We'll have you on to say hello, too, because people love you there, Fro. I remember that from the Flyers and the Thrashers game, so we know that.
Right. I love Philly. It's a great
town.
All right,
brother.
Congrats, John. All the best. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All the best to you and the family and little Nikki Foles. Be good. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right. See you, buddy.
There is John Kincaid, everybody. How about that, Mafia? You like that?
I always love hooking up with JK, one of the best guys in the biz.
So he got this big gig in Philly, and now he's going to take over Philadelphia. And I think Mafia told me Angelo's like 69 now, going on 104. I'm just kidding. I think Angelo's a legend in Philly. He's great at what he does. I don't know him. So it's weird. I know everybody, but I don't know him. So it is what it is. All right, tomorrow night, Saturday night, you got the Fox pay-per-view, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia fight, the truth against Danny Swift with his crazy dad, Angel Garcia, making proclamations about his son gonna take out Errol Spence. Of course, Errol Spence beat Sean Porter. Sean Porter beat Garcia. So did one-time Thurman. So I saw him fight two guys that were good in the welterweight division. He lost to both of them. I saw him beat a bum like Guerrero, the Ghost, when he was already beat up and washed. I'm not sure I have faith in Danny and all this talk about how great he is and how he's this great, counterpuncher, and he waits for your mistake. Here's the deal. Your boy, Errol Spence, doesn't make mistakes. He's not going to leave himself open to that. And people are saying, oh, he wrecked his car, so he's got to suck now. You're going to find out tomorrow night how much he sucks. Let me tell you what. Errol Spence, tomorrow night, welterweight champ, taking on Danny Garcia on Fox pay-per-view. Order the fight on FoxSports.com or on your cable operator. Call them up, dial them up, say, give me the fight. You're good to go. From AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas, right outside of Dallas. That's Spence's hometown, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Fox pay-per-view, PBC, the welterweight championship, Spence Garcia, tomorrow night. I know Mafia's excited about that fight. And Mafia's just excited that I've spoken just poorly about people in the first hour of the show tonight, by name, which is...
always more enjoyable when you bash people.
You know, when I... you know, do it by name and just pluck them out and point them out and let everybody understand what's going on here. So when I come back on the second hour here on a Pain-Free Friday, I'm going to talk bad about, I think I'm going to talk bad about Kyrie Irving. Why not? I mean, I'm just it's starting to get in the holiday mood. I just want to talk bad about people.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $1.99. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $3.99. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $2.99. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big.